Mad Tower Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 45th episode of Mad Tower Radio. My name is Dan, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Christian. Ryan is dead this week.
Oh.
And we are in the same room.
For the first time. It's got some benefits moving back home, doesn't it?
I don't know what I'm going to do because I've never planned to ever have to say any of this heinous stuff to Christian's face. So we're gonna see how it goes. And since we only have two hosts today, we figured why not bring back Cryptid Erotica Part 2. That's right, folks. Over the last unspecified amount of time, Christian and I have been putting our eyes on the paper and just sorting through some of the hottest, steamiest cryptid action that we could find.
I wanted to give the girl I read last time, I wanted to give her another shot. As you know, she did write a series set in, like, Demon Grey's Anatomy. And I also found out she wrote a, like, dating drama about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
A dating drama.
And each of the horsemen has their own book, and they find their own love. And she's got a lot going for her. She's cooking.
So did you have any thoughts, or did you just immediately, you were like, yeah, we're going to book two of, like, Demon Grey's Anatomy?
I immediately wanted to go to book two, and it was so much better.
Really?
Oh my!
Really?
It's so much better than the first one. I'm
like,
so
did it
happy.
Get like good better?
Oh, it was good. It was significantly.
You sound pretty
better.
Excited to take the stage, so I'll let you go first, man. I'm excited to hear it.
Oh my goodness! So, what do you remember from the first one?
Demon Grey's Anatomy. The girl's name was something really basic. It was like Trisha or something.
It's like Taya or something.
Taya. And Taya was a demon hunter, mm-hmm. but then it turns out she's actually half demon, and she can go soul shredder mode, and she was so fucking excited to go get a tramp stamp, and then, like, Twilight super speed run home and, like, bang our demon man,
yes.
whose name escapes me at this time.
His name was Eidolon.
Eidolon, that's it, that's mm-hmm. it.
So, this story, the second one, is Desire Unchained.
Okay.
This follows the brother of Eidolon.
Oh my god, really?
His brother.
Is it like in the same universe, or like does his brother like live across the country?
All of the brothers work at the same hospital.
Now, is he like familiar?
Yeah, Shade was in the first one.
No. I mean, like, is his name familiar to keep up with Eidolon? And...
No, so we've got Eidolon is the oldest, and we've got Wraith.
Jesus
and we've got
Christ.
Shade, and I think the other ones are like Rorg.
You know, these names all sound cool until you realize that it's the demon world, and like Wraith has got to be like the demon equivalent to John.
Uh huh.
You know what You know what I mean?
I mean,
so yeah, there's 8 Wraiths in my class.
The kids of this guy Shade, which I don't want to give it away, but he has some kids later on in the story.
Well, goddamn.
They're named like Rip, Shred.
No, they're not.
like the Venom, like the Sinister Six Venom guys. It's like cut, rip, rip and tear.
Oh, these remind me of like if you had to name the characters for like your shovelware arcade game.
And you were running out
you
of
know?
Time.
Like
yeah.
if I was playing like Arena Frogs right next to the Battletoads cabinet, I feel like the Arena Frogs would be named like Rip and like Shred and like, you know?
It's absolutely horrible. But while the first one was pretty run-of-the-mill, you know, sexy demon fantasy, this one's got a lot of sauce to it. This one's got twists and turns.
Is there a love triangle?
It's not a triangle. It's,
love hexagon?
It's exes reuniting.
Oh, whoa. Well, who's the exes?
So the story starts.
Yeah, I'm Tell me.
No, I'm going to give it to you. I don't want to go all the way, but I'm going to go until it really starts kicking into high gear.
Okay.
So Shade, he works at the Demon Hospital. And 7 years before the beginning of this story, they go to pick up somebody in an emergency lift.
Shade's the brother, right?
Shade is the brother and our protag of this book.
Okay.
And his brother dies on this pickup. Mm-hmm. Something real bad happened. Like the emergency response team got caught into an accident because they're like this underground hospital and they're fighting the angels. And you find out later the U.S. government's teaming with the angels to get the demons out.
I didn't know. All right.
And so 7 years ago, before the start of this book, you find out that all the brothers can like feel each other's pain. Not like strictly their pain, but you can feel when they die.
Yeah.
And that comes, that's important.
Yeah, a little bit of telepathy.
Like a little bit of brother telepathy like going on.
Twin stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I love all the dance cats. They're just ripping and
tearing. Yeah, we're recording in the cat room, so sorry for any cat ambiance.
So we find out Shade wakes up in this dank, dark torture dungeon. He doesn't know how he got there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what's going on. And he thinks he's being caught in the ploy of these organ harvesters, who were the antagonists of the last book. There are a lot of people going around, like demonic forces, who are extracting organs from other demons to sell on the black market. He wakes up, chained to the wall, and he sees his ex chained to the other wall.
Oh, all right. Okay, sure.
And she's like, wait a minute. You're that piece of shit who cheated on me with those two vampires.
Ooh, ooh.
And it goes into this whole tirade.
So we didn't know this about Shade prior. No. Okay, Shade was just a good guy. Okay. But he's got a soft spot for the ladies.
Well, the weird thing is, she's a human.
Mmm.
Which is weird for Seminist demons, which is their breed.
Seminist?
Seminus.
Spelled how it sounds?
S-E-M-I-N-U-S.
Not spelled how it sounds.
Seminus demons.
I thought they were like the breed of demons that were like made for impregnation.
That's the ones.
Oh, okay. It's just not spelled like it.
No.
Okay.
And so you find out Shade had a really good connection with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that they were doing well. And it's just, you know, sex demons got a sex. And one day, she comes home from work and finds him in a voluptuous three-way with two vampires.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And she leaves him that night, runs away in a fury, and gets attacked.
Hmm.
By a werewolf.
Oh. We know a couple werewolves.
Yeah.
I don't know their names.
There were some werewolves in the hospital.
Our boy Eidolon is BFFs with a werewolf,
uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's some werewolves, and also...
His name's like Muncher, right?
I don't remember his name. But there's also some vampires at the hospital, okay? And she is chained to this wall because that night when he ran away...
Does Shade have sex sense like his brother?
Yup.
Okay.
He can find out if you're horny. He has detect horny. He has 30 detect, feet.
Okay.
He finds out that she was bitten by a werewolf that night.
Damn.
And now she is like a part of the demon underworld.
Oh, damn. Okay. So not only do you have to worry about your crazy ex in the demon world, you also then have to worry further that your human ex, which I imagine is like a toy to these demons, right?
Absolutely.
That your human ex can go out and get involved into the demon world and is now just a regular ex. That's gotta fucking suck. You know? Like, if I was Shade, I would, like, you wouldn't be standing there.
No.
I would go Soul Shredder mode the second that I decided the relationship's over.
No, he can't do the devil trigger. That's only... Taya. Oh, okay. That's only okay. His sister-in-law, I guess, at this point. And...
Oh, congrats, Iowa.
Congrats, buddy. So the beginning of the story is this mysterious organ harvester
mm-hmm.
captures her because he wants to skin her when she's in werewolf form. Because the werewolf pelt's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he gets caught up accidentally in this whole capturing tirade nonsense. Now, he employs a bunch of little freaker torturers, like little goblins and imps, to, like, whip them and, like, torture them or whatever. And then he comes out, and it's like
this... Are they just, like, stock standard little green dudes.
Little freakers.
Awesome. Awesome.
Who they're
gotta love the classics.
A completely minion-y, like lowly sniveling yes master dudes.
Yeah.
And then he comes in, the leader of the organ harvesting operation. And he's like, yes, you are a werewolf. I can't wait to skin you alive. But first, we need to torture this sex demon. So they take him out, tie him to a whipping post.
Oh, man. And this, like, we need to do it naked, too. Naked and in the rain.
He does need to do naked. Because Shade talks a lot of shit. He's like, this isn't real torture. I'd do harder foreplay like this in bed. Like,
oh, that, God. All that kind of shit. Of course, he's a shit talker.
Uh-huh. And the way that this guy knows to torture him best is to give him demonic blue balls.
He gets... Like, is he getting in there, working the shaft? Like,
he gets a vampire to blow him.
All right.
But never finish him.
Yeah, we're going to torture you. We're going to tie you to a post and make a hot vampire suck your dick.
You're going to be edged.
How about that?
You are edged. For your entire time torturing. Like, he's gonna whip you and, like, put nails in your fingers and edge you.
Which one was chained to the rock? Prometheus?
Like Prometheus.
Like, yeah. Prometheus with a blowjob instead of an eagle eating your liver. Oh.
And you find out the vampire who's doing the deed was an RN at the hospital.
Oh, shit.
She
dude.
Was a narc on the inside.
Oh, my God. So she's part of the organ trade.
She's like, I know you. You rebuked my advances. And he's like, yeah, because you're a vampire and you're kind of nice lady. Because
you suck.
Exactly. So he tortures her. And they send him back into the cell after he's been tortured because they know.
How was that? Huh? How was your 3-hour blowjob, huh?
With no
That really
finish.
Showed you.
Because they know.
Right, right.
Like... being sexually edged is like
painful
for a sex demon. And they have this plot.
That's just gotta be weird for like everybody else in the room though.
The worst part is they cut to the ex's point of view at this point. And they're like, what's going on in there? As he's getting mad vampire top.
Is it as fun for her as it is?
She hates it. She hates this guy. She wants to kill him.
But like, is that satisfaction enough for her? Like, is she like, I know this blowjob is really fucking.
No.
Okay.
She takes no solace that he's getting an unpleasant blowjob. So they have this weird plot point. I brought this up in the last episode talking about the Demonica series, the Seminous Demon. They go through ex-genesis, it's called. And it's that point in your life where you're like an incubus and you either have to stay with one person and commit to them for life, like Eidolon does, or you become like a lustful, out-of-control piece of shit and you lose like your humanity.
Yeah, you become like a freakazoid.
A freaker.
Yeah.
And they try to like edge him to get him closer to that point, right? And...
Oh, so they're trying to... They're trying to make him go, like, feral.
They're trying to make him go feral.
Oh, that's kind of fucked.
It's horrible. And the...
Is it that tense in the book? Or is it just kind of like...
It's good. It's tense.
Okay.
I'm like, Shade,
All right.
They know, also, that Shade has a love curse.
Oh.
Like, he'll never find true love. Like, it's something about his backstory.
So he's, like, doomed to be feral at one point.
He's gonna fail, like, the incubus mature test.
Who cursed him? Or was he born? Is it, like, a birth defect?
I don't fucking know why he's cursed.
I imagine curse has gotta be something like a birth defect when you get into, like, demons and stuff. Like, sometimes you're just born with, you know... The curse of the nameless king or something, you know?
And it's just something he's got to live with.
Born with the Mark of Solomon.
We bring ourselves to the first quote I took, my first screenshot.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So after he's thrown into the cell, tied back to the wall, he's reviewing what happened to him in the torture room. And she says, well, if you're being brought to the edge of orgasm, why can't you just... he shoots back. Release cannot come by my own hand. He's cursed. He can't masturbate.
That sucks.
I'm like, okay.
My mans can't just take care of business when it needs to be taken care of.
So, he's brought to the edge of, like, feralness with torture and blueballing.
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, I can get out of this with my, like, adrenaline life or flight or flight response. So I need you to injure me.
Ah, okay.
So she turns, she goes wolf mode and bites down on his foot.
All right.
And it like breaks him out of his stupor and he's able to understand what's going on and like get, bring back like his sanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, after that, first off, this is a detail I really like. The werewolf transformations in this story are like gruesome, painful. Like it's nasty. What? Like, her bones all pop into shape. It's not a cool,
is it almost easy, like a new being is being formed?
Like, her like, skin all rips. Like, it's a good werewolf transformation.
It's not just, like, Twilight, like, damn, that's pretty badass.
You don't get to do it for free.
That's pretty badass.
And, like,
your clothes are going to be ripped.
She takes her clothes off first. Has to not rip her jeans.
Smart.
She's been around the werewolf
block. I guess if you're going to... Yeah, that seems like it'd be pretty common if you're a werewolf.
She knew to strip down. But the weird part is, most werewolves aren't able to control it.
Well, then I just got another question. How long of a transformation is this? Like, are you extremely vulnerable for, like, a whole minute?
It sounded like it was, like, a 3 to 5 minute ordeal of, like, twisting and turning and growing.
So you got a plan, wolf mode.
Yes.
Damn. Yes.
No, she...
That kind of sucks. That is a curse.
It's a really nasty and really nice iteration of a werewolf's curse. I was really into that.
That's sort of cool.
Way they did it. And her specialty is she actually gets to choose when she does it.
Oh, okay. Like,
they were chaining her into here to the full moon.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, they were going to wait for her to change by force.
Yeah.
But then she reveals that trick, like, I can change whenever I want. So, now that they're recovered, they're both in a stable-ish position. The torture guy's gone. They begin to talk about their love life and what went wrong here.
Okay.
And you hear this story.
Yeah, what happened to us?
Hey, I'm a werewolf. You're a blue ball demon. What happened to us? You find out she has a brother in the military.
Oh, okay.
And, like, her parents both died and he, like, took care of her from birth or from, like, a very young age. Like, she was...
Right. Everybody who's never been in the military's perception of someone in the military. Right.
You can take charge. You can be the boss. You can come home and save the world.
Yeah.
So she's with him and he's, like, got this terminal illness and she's sad and she's in, a coffee shop career and she's not happy or satisfied and all her friends are like, you need to live your life.
Yeah.
And in comes... big, sexy, sex demon, Shade.
Okay.
He's described as, like, hopping off of his Harley. He's got his thigh-high leather
boots.
So they're
not just talking about it. In the book's perspective, we're reading this.
We flashback.
Okay.
And her friend is like, you gotta fuck this guy. You got to. This, like...
Something about him. Something when he entered the room. There's, like, some kind of sexual aura... up to about 30 feet. I feel like I'm being overcome with these feelings.
Well, he kind of talks about it. He's like, it's kind of disingenuous with a human because my sex, my aura is so strong.
I told you. They got to look at him as just toys.
So they go to he goes up and orders his black coffee. And the friend is like, she really wants to ride your motorcycle.
Not what... okay. All right. I'm glad that's the dialogue.
And she... doesn't clock out, doesn't tell the manager, doesn't, like, empty the cash register. They go to the back alley and they get to business.
There was not even a motorcycle ride?
To business. No time to wait.
All right.
And at that point, she's hooked. She loves him.
The
pheromones are in him. And that brings me to my second quote. Let me pull it up. For when they could both breathe again, she lowered herself to her feet and he pulled out. Tucking himself swiftly back into his pants. Warm, tingly fluid dripping down her leg, blasting her back to reality. Oh my god. You didn't use a condom. I'm sterile, and I am not a carrier for disease. That's it. She said, okay. Nothing
it's almost
weird.
Like he had, like, a business card ready, you know? He's like, yeah, it happens a lot.
She doesn't know he's a demon. She just thinks he's a dude who lays pipe in the alley.
Right.
And she's like, okay. So then they date for, like, 2-3 weeks. And then the vampire.
I'm not gonna open the can of worms on how fucking sketchy it is in the first place that this demon is like, I mean, this human's practically consented. Don't mind my 30-foot cone of sex seduction.
No, another thing I really liked about this one versus the other one is there was a lot of consent in this alley fucking.
Oh, okay.
There's a very drawn, like, couple pages of her being like, oh, I'm not really into this. This isn't really my thing. And Shade's like, tell me yes or tell me no. Like, we can't
go. Yeah. We can't hang out in this gray area.
Well, he's, like, lifting her up in the alleyway. And he's like, listen, is this a yes? Is this a no? Because I need the answer or we're
right,
done.
Right.
And she says yes. Whereas the first one, I think Larissa Ioni wasn't really as respectful towards these kinds of things. It was kind of just like horny beams.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see that. Her writing skill.
That's good.
She's improving in her art.
Well, hey, I mean, what can you say? She's improving. That's fucking awesome. So how thick are these?
This one was...
Like, are they real? Like, are...
400 phone screens.
Because, like, the shit that I'm reading, like, no disrespect to whoever it is that wrote it, but, like, I wouldn't call it, like, a real book. It's, like, the stuff that I find, it's, like, 20 pages.
No, I read a novel.
Okay. Now, that brings me to my next question. Like, how long were you reading this? How long did it take? Did you find that you were able to go faster because you were doing this for, like, a purpose and not leisure?
Because this was a business erotica and not a pleasure erotica, I went a little fast.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, ooh and ah over the bits. And also, I had a convenient 18-hour car ride in the last week.
You narrated it.
I did not.
You didn't get an audio version?
We didn't read aloud. No.
Okay.
So I had a lot of time on my hands for cryptid erotica. So we got one more scene left. I want to give it to you because it changes the whole thing. And then that's where I'm going to let you go. Please go finish this book. I'm only letting you like 20% of the way through.
Okay.
So the guy comes back in after they have spoken.
Shade.
The torturer.
Oh, okay. Torturer comes back in.
So before he comes in, though, I want to let this out, though. You find out her brother is part of the Raider X Regiment of the U.S. Army.
Excuse me?
That's the cryptid regiment. The Raider X Regiment.
The Raider X? Oh, my God.
And they're like, okay, we're going to handle your werewolf business. We're going to, like, help you take control of it. And we're recruiting you. Sign these papers, girl. You're enlisted.
Whoa!
So she's working for the U.S. Army, like, dealing with the cryptid underworld. And that's how she get caught by this guy in the organ harvesting biz.
Huh. Wow, that does sound, like, way more interesting. And Eidolon's just off. See ya, buddy.
He's doing medicine. He shows up a couple times. Like, we cut to him, and they're like, my brother's not been home for a while. I hope he's okay.
Jeez. Well, I mean, honestly, like, I really don't have that much to hate on because it sounds like she's, like, improved her writing style. I mean, some of what you're telling me, it sounds like decent tropes that have the making of, like, a good story, you know? Like,
there's some cringe, but I'm enjoying it.
Like, I think the conflict that's going to come up later where she has to choose between her brother and, like, not genociding all of demonkind, like, I think that's going to be an interesting plot point eventually. You know?
So we find out, after the torturing, after the recovering, the torturer comes back in and uses his secret horny illusionary powers, his horny suggestion powers, to make our protag Shade and Runa fuck.
See, that's the stuff I don't like,
though. I didn't like that either.
I like, if you're gonna make magic in your universe,
don't make it like...
I don't care if it's like... mysterious or something, but like make it so I can follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I think it has the trappings of a bad universe when it's like, you know,
you can't there's no rules.
I can't follow the rules to the magic, and like homie just has a, like, oh, this is my U2 fuck spell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I've never said anything about this before and could have cast it like 50 times.
I know you're saying that, but I've got the answer. I've got the
really?
Answer.
Really? So
in my
do you pocket. have the knowledge?
I'm going to give it to you right now.
Okay, yeah.
So because Shade is at the edge of his like feral transformation, he makes them have sex. so that he bonds to her.
Oh, what? They, he saved him?
They bond to each other. They hate each other. They're like the unhappy exes. Oh,
he did it as torture.
Yeah. So they're bonded together. He can't mate with anyone ever again. She can't mate with anybody ever again. They are like demon married.
I mean, that...
There's your... Like, you start
if
off...
If you're trying to make it erotic, I mean... That'll do the trick. That's a hot and heavy situation right there.
And let me tell you, it was a good scene. It was a good scene.
All right.
So you're like, wow, this torturer knows a lot about feminist demons, and he knows a lot about like how to work them and how to like make them operate.
Yeah.
You find out, and this is the last bit. That torturer, the organ harvester, is the brother who he thought died 7 years ago.
What? What's their last name?
I don't fucking know.
But the whole Eidolon clan is just fucking... Man, that's fucking crazy.
And he's running this organ harvesting scheme because they used to go to this bar called Brimstone, and there was this big fire and this raid.
Yeah, yeah.
And he lost his dick in the fire.
It just comes off like that?
He lost it in the
like
fire.
Like Mr. Potato Head?
And he loves this vampire who's given him the BJ, and he needs to harvest a dick from another seminous demon so that he can get a dick transplant to love his vampire wife.
Oh my god!
So he's like... So he got in the organ harvesting game so he could get one of his brothers to take his dick off.
This is like the fucking Sharingan, bro.
It's exactly like the Sharingan.
The Dickingan, bro.
But he's pissed. He didn't want Shade. He wanted like Eidolon.
I need Eidolon's dick, bro.
How do you feel if your brother, who you thought was dead for 7 years, picks you up off the street, tortures you, gives you sloppy for 3 hours from his vampire wife, and then says, I didn't want your dick, I wanted our brother's dick.
And then makes
dick.
You marry your ex.
And then he marries you to your ex-demon werewolf, and then says...
You could have at least brought Eidolon's cock.
Yeah, you're the second best dick in the bunch.
Does it say how many brothers there are?
Yes. And he's like, I don't want Wraith's dick.
I don't want Wraith's dick.
I'm glad Wraith is in here. And the lowly cohort, like the little minion, is like, sorry, I grabbed the wrong guy, they all look the same to me.
So does he, like, have full plans to, like, carry out revenge against the rest of the family, or he just wants a dick and then he's, see ya?
He wants that dick. And he wants to, like, because he can't make love to his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has good, like, mental powers. Like, he's very scared that one day his wife will find out that he's been mind-fucking her and not real-fucking her.
Oh, and he just confides this in his brother?
Well, I think it's, like, in his mental, like... It's pretty omniscient.
Okay.
So he's like, I need a dick. So that's 20% through the story.
That's only 20%?
There's twists. There's turns. There's location changes. The army shows up. The angels show up. There's a dick hunt.
There's a dick
hunt. So much better than the first story. And that's just the beginning. So go find out. It's Desire Unchained.
So there's no question about an if. It's a when. When there is a part 3 to Cryptid Erotica, do you full well intend to just keep going?
This is book 2 of 7.
I feel like there's got to be at least 7 Cryptid Erotica episodes at this point, right?
We've got Fuel. The next one is Passion Unleashed. And I bet you that's going to be Wraith, because I think she's going to go through all the family members.
Yeah. She's going to set up some like crazy... It's like a Tarantino film. We're going to find out like the 5th film or the 5th book.
I hope
this is
film.
All happening at the same time, you know?
Oh, yes. Like, I mean, they are kind of all happening within... It's Wraith! I just looked. It's a great story. I gotta know.
You sound like you're hyped now.
Wraith is very love-straught. Like, they're all in all the books. He's very troubled. He needs to find a good
is
woman.
Is there a fandom for this?
Yeah, I'm the fandom.
I need to know. No, I need to know.
There's fanfics. There's a wiki. There's a demonical wiki.
I want to, like, who's everyone's best boy? Like, what? I'm going to do a deep dive on the community after this. See what the fans of Demonica are saying.
recommend it to everybody. Go check out the Demonica books. They only get better with time.
So, that being said, I'm always happy to hear that once again, you went above and beyond in your research pursuits, and I have brought you, like, what I found underneath, like, the garbage can. I paid for this, by the way. I want you all to know that I spent money for this episode to purchase Cryptid Cravings by Foxy Smolder on Kindle today.
Did she have a stage name?
Yeah, check out the cover, bro. Yeah, dude.
No symbolism.
You audio. Oh my God. I mean, there's no video to this show. But the cover is like some washboard abs, like Greek god Adonis, and like a woman walking right in front of like his happy trail holding a like lantern. I don't know. But this is a collection of three stories.
Ooh.
One, the first one, which I'm going to be reporting on today, is Big, Big Love. The next one is Reptilian Rapture, and the last one is The Goatman Cometh. Now, when I found out that these were a triple threat, I was like, yeah, I'm saving this for parts 3 and 4, right?
Okay.
Now, the story I read is called Big, Big Love. Yes, and it was about a one Clinton Campbell, who he's a nature photographer. Right. Not even a nature photographer. He's just a photographer. Right.
Okay.
And he goes out to the woods to get away from the city. He looks really out of place. Right. He shows up at this hotel and there's like a bunch of like outdoorsmen, hunter types, like outdoorsy guys. Right.
Is he like a beta?
Yeah, and he's you know, he's a little city kid. Gotcha. Yeah, okay. You know, he's a little city kid, and he looks a little out of place. And all the lumberjack guys, they start poking fun at him. They're like, "Look at the Boy Scout, blah blah blah," you know. And everyone's talking about what they're doing there, and like the leader of the hunters, he gets up in front of everyone, and he's like, "I'm just gonna use a different outdoorsy guy."
Sure.
For every time I refer to these dudes, because it was never clear. Mm. But he refers to all these lumberjacks, and they're all gathering around, and they're like, "Men, you know, tonight, we're going to go, and we're going to fucking find Bigfoot, and we're going to fucking kill him.
Another
and we're
going to
drag his corpse back here." Right? Which, let me say, is not the sentiment of most outdoorsmen. Foxy Smolder got it wrong. All right? And that's when you find out that Clinton is also here to find Bigfoot.
Oh.
But he wants to take a photograph, right? And now here's where I fucking hate Clinton as a protagonist, right? First of all, his name's Clinton.
Bad.
And then second, he says the only thing he really knew about Bigfoot was that no one had ever managed to get a clear picture of the guy. So it seemed obvious that someone at the lodge would have the desire to lock down that first good photograph. That's it. He's just here for what? The photo?
He wants the photo of Bigfoot. Like,
fame, I guess. But, I mean, everything else Clint has done doesn't strike me as fame. Because he's like a really mousy guy. A really quiet guy. A real shy guy.
Is he usually in the, like, cryptid sector of photography?
No.
Just
one day he was like, "I'm going to go out to the woods and get a pic of Bigfoot." Yep. And he's surprised. He's like, "Wow, there's other people here that also want to find Bigfoot?" Like, just enamored in this cryptid hunting. Like, what? Yeah.
Okay.
Stupid. He's an idiot.
Like, it feels unmotivated?
It feels unmotivated. It feels like Foxy Smolder just wanted to put a guy in a situation.
A Bigfoot.
Yeah. Wanted to put a guy in a potentially erotic Bigfoot situation. Okay? But hey, whatever, you know? Doesn't matter how we got there. We're here, right?
Don't we all?
So Clint breaks down the trail with the hunters, and eventually he's like, "You know what? I'm fucking sick of these mongoloids. Like, I'm gonna just slow down, you know?" And they pass him, and now he's alone in the woods. He breaks off a little bit to make camp. It was never specified how much shit he brought. I don't know how detailed of a camp he's making. He could have just sat down on some pine needles and been like, "Yep, this is camp."
Okay.
But he's like, I'm gonna cloverleaf out from camp, you know, and see if, like, make rings around this, try and find Bigfoot, right? so that I'm not with this big old fucking crowd. Okay? And so Clint is walking around, and he comes back up to his camp, and there he is.
The Bigfoot?
There is the Bigfoot, right? And here it is, right?
Oh, please. Give me an excerpt.
So he's looking at Bigfoot. Bigfoot's looking at him. Bigfoot's like this monstrous beast, right? And from the way it was described in the book, just imagine the Jack's Link beef jerky commercial.
Okay.
You know, that's what we're looking at right here, right? And Sasquatch is looking at him. He's looking at Sasquatch. Sasquatch is holding one of his walkie-talkies because he was going through the shit at his camp. And then Sasquatch looks at the walkie-talkie and looks at our protagonist, Clinton, and says, "Does this thing work?"
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. In the fluent Queen's English, Bigfoot's like, "Yo, does this walkie-talkie
work? What's the range on this, bro?"
So Clinton, he goes, "You can talk?" And he has this huge exchange with Bigfoot. It's the tropiest thing you can imagine if there was a talking Bigfoot. It's like, "Oh, yeah. I was always able to talk, but humans suck, so I just hide out in the woods.
Feels like a Scooby-Doo bit.
Sometimes I only talk to super special humans like you, Clinton."
Because you have a walkie-talkie.
Because you have a thick cock. No. So, but he's talking. He's conversing with Bigfoot, right? And he's like, "Great. Oh my God." He's like, "This is nuts, you know? It's just usual shit, like, you should make yourself known." And he's like, "No, the world isn't ready."
True.
And then he's like, "Well, let me at least do my part to help human and Bigfoot relationships." First he goes, "What can I call you?" And Bigfoot's all mysterious, right? And he's talking like, he's like, "Oh, sometimes me sleep many moons. Me hibernate for a year, I think." And so basically he's saying Bigfoot's immortal is what they want you to infer. And he's like, "Yeah, the last time I had a name... there were some funny-looking guys in some tents with face paint on, and they called me Chie Tonka." And okay. he's like, "So you can just call me Chie." Yeah. I knew you'd love that one. Persona 4 best girl, Chie, right?
Not Chie, the Sasquatch.
Yeah, Chie the Sasquatch. Yeah. And so Clint's like, "Well, let me do my part to further Bigfoot in human relationships." And Bigfoot's like, "Well, what do you got in mind?" And he's like, "Have you ever had a foot massage?"
I feel like it's a very sensitive topic to bring up to a Bigfoot. Like, the first thing you say is, "How about them big ass feet?"
He goes, "Have you ever had one?" And Bigfoot, who hasn't had a name since the Native Americans were around, which was a pretty long time ago at this point, right? He goes, "No, but I heard they're great." From who?
Who's out who'd in the you woods? Hear from? I bet people are walking in the woods, they're hiking, and they're like, "Man, I need a masseuse.
I need a foot massage right now."
Is Clinton a licensed foot therapist, or no, does he think he can just really?
He's a hobbyist. They talk about it. He's like, I'm no podiatrist, but I can tell that his feet were getting softer.
He's a dilettante.
His feet were getting more pliable and relaxing as I massaged his feet. So he
rubs these toes.
He's massaging Bigfoot's feet. And at first, he's like, "Man, am I not doing a good job or anything?" Because Bigfoot was like, you know,
your big ass foot.
It's like, he was like, "Man, I'm really fucking up Bigfoot's massage." So he's like putting his whole body into it, right? And he's fucking massaging his feet. And then Clint's like, "Hey, yo." Clint's like, "Yo, I'm massaging these feet, dog. I'm massaging these feet." And he talks about how he's starting to feel a heat.
Getting a little hard.
He's starting to feel a heat in his belly. He can feel himself getting hard, right? Is what he says.
From rubbing Bigfoot's feet.
Yeah. Well, okay. Hold on. I forgot I highlighted it.
Oh, thank God.
He goes... But this is how he broke the foot massage. He goes, "I think I can help." And Chie raised his shaggy brows. He said nothing, but his facial expression, at least what he could see of it, conveyed a strong sense of doubt. "At least," Clint amended, "I can help out with those." He nodded at Chie's feet. "Have you ever had a foot massage?"
They're already, like, flirting with each other.
Oh, dude, he's flirting with them. The second he brings up feet, Clint is on. Turned all the way on to 10. Yeah.
Okay, I like where this is premising.
Clint, in his own internal monologue, says that he got so into the foot massage that it wasn't a foot massage. He felt the word worship would be more appropriate. He almost thought the word worshiping. These colossal feet.
Tell me about the smell of these feet.
Hold on, I'm going to just let it ride. I'm going to just let it ride right here.
Please.
Okay. Clinton's methodical mind noted this and was surprisingly calm about it. Somehow this far from civilization, the things that would normally have caused him burning embarrassment seemed totally insignificant. Or perhaps not totally, because now that he was aware of what the heat in his body and the growing weight at his groin? That's a typo. It says groan. The growing weight at his groin were doing to him, he knew exactly what he wanted to do next. Ever so slowly, Clinton hefted Chie's left foot into his hands, raising it up to the level of his mouth. It took no little effort for him to hold it up. Big feet were heavy, in addition to being long and wide. Chie's eyes blinked open as he came out of his daze. He seemed to open his mouth and ask Clinton what he was doing, so Clinton decided to show him instead. He opened his mouth and covered Chie's big toe with it, then began to suck.
Oh my god. Now I know why they wrote under a pen name.
I told you I found the lowest tier shit I could.
You can't put your first and last on the Bigfoot toe suck fanfic.
Absolutely not. And then he goes on to immediately say that Bigfoot's toe tasted rank. But not necessarily in a bad way, Clinton thought. Yeah.
You're a dirty bitch, Clinton. Yeah. You're a city boy.
Oh, man. So it's like four more pages after that of like...
Of sucking?
Toe sucking.
How can you talk about toe sucking for four pages?
Yeah, and then eventually Bigfoot's like, come here. He reaches out and he's like, he pulls Clint into his lap and he's like, you want to do this for real? And Clint's like, yeah. Clint's like, Enough games, Bigfoot. We're going to Pound Town. Right? He goes, yes. He goes, yes, I want you. I think deep down, I think I always wanted you. Are you sure, Clint? Are you sure, Clint? Because 45 fucking minutes ago, the only thing you knew about Bigfoot was that no one had ever taken a picture of him.
But you thought deep in your mind you always kind of wanted to fuck him?
Yeah, but you wanted him so badly, huh? Yeah, you're not going to fucking gaslight him when this goes south, are you, Clint?
It seems like you're kind of playing to the crowd here. You're kind of trying to make Bigfoot feel good?
Yeah. Bigfoot is a caring lover.
Good.
He spends a good... couple more pages, they're just making out. They're just making out, bro. Just in the woods. And I'm wondering. Bigfoot? And I'm wondering, because it never specified how long he waited for these hunters to leave. You know? Like, I'm wondering if, like, the return party is just going to look over and see Clint, like,
just
going at it. Like, Clint just getting fucking destroyed over there.
Well, if a group of hunters are going to come across you... and a Bigfoot in relations, would you rather it be in, like, the full throes of it, or would you rather them see, like, the toe suck? Or would you rather them see, you know, the 20 minutes of loving makeout?
So, I think that if you walked up on the full throes of passion, one, nobody has to expose a fetish that maybe didn't want to be exposed. Everybody fucks, but maybe not everybody's sucking toes.
That's fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
And two... if you walked up on the toe sucking, there's too much room for interpretation. If these guys are really the rednecks that Clint makes them out to be, they could be like, Bigfoot's got him under his mind control, and just start fucking emptying the clip. But if you walk up on the full throes of passion...
there's nothing to be interpreted.
No mistaking what's going on.
Okay.
So,
you made a good point.
So I think I'd rather them walk up in the full throes of passion. Yeah. Yeah, and Clint's going on and on and on about, like...
I don't mean to assume, but Clint's on bottom, yeah?
Oh, Clint is firmly on the bottom. There was never any, like...
I thought so.
Clint didn't even entertain himself with the thought that maybe he could top Bigfoot. Fuck no, dude. Come on.
Well, in the genre of cryptid erotica, I feel like you're only writing Bigfoot because he is this, like, exotic super top. I feel like that's something he was born to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense. Like, if you were to write a horny cryptid story, you've got your top there.
Uh-huh.
Like, you would call on, like, the little green men to be your bottom or something like that.
The Fresno Nightcrawler.
Yeah, like a Nightcrawler is a bottom.
Loveland Frogman's a bottom.
What's that horrible spade-headed demon?
Flatwoods monster.
Flatwoods verse. Flatwoods versatile. Don't worry about that.
She can flex. All right.
So take me back.
Yeah. So Bigfoot's like, you want to do this? And Clint's like, yeah.
Consent.
And so they go on. They keep going on with the foreplay. They're still foreplaying it up for a little bit, right? And we then go on to learn that, for lack of a better description, that was a big cock in the way of Bigfoot's tool.
One would only assume.
Right.
No disrespect to the Bigfoot. I always imagined.
Nobody was doubting, man. Nobody was doubting. But he's talking like, but as he's describing this, it's getting to the point where I'm like, Clint, should you really try to put that inside you?
There are many things you can do without risking internal damages.
You can
service this man in other ways.
Yeah. You're working probably, like, way too much equipment.
Does he practice? Does he have a plug? Was he prepped for this?
I mean, they do a little, like, Bigfoot tests the waters. Chie tests the waters, you know. He's like, let's see if we can get it to the base before we do everything. You know, let's see how far we can get it before we go crazy, all right?
Okay.
Yeah. And for the sake of the story, right, Clint can take it all.
Okay. That's the first issue I have in this story.
Yeah.
Man took
no
prep.
Fucking way.
No forest lube.
Yeah. Clint was like, hold on, let me polish that off for you so there's a little bit of fucking lube. Clint is just able to take full-length Bigfoot, which I call bullshit, bro.
Foxy Cleopatra, there's something going on.
You've all heard of Mr. Hands, all right? And that guy died, all right? For those of you that don't know Mr. Hands, go look it up. But yeah, that dude's dead, all right?
Oh my God.
So no way.
Oh, my God.
No way Clint's taking full-length Bigfoot.
On night one? Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, from then on, it's just some Bigfoot smut. It is just some Bigfoot smut. And then, they also want me to believe that, Clinton was also able to handle the delivery? No fucking way! No way, dude.
So, did the Bigfoot ask if you would prefer, in the most polite way possible, a glazed or a Twinkie?
Hold on, I'm finding the quote. So Bigfoot checked out as soon as he found out he could go full hog. When Bigfoot found out he could go full hog, he said, "No more waiting." Chie growled in a tone that made Clinton's knees turn to water.
Oh,
and then Clinton
my God.
Said, "Let me..." And fucking GA cut him off. So as soon as Bigfoot found out he could go whole hog,
he was
going whole hog.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, and like,
not very cool. Not very good. Loving partner.
Bigfoot. No, not great. And I thought it was gonna come up. I thought it might have been part of the story that, like, yo, Bigfoot, we can't fuck. You know, like, you're gonna kill me. You know,
a better writer would have addressed this.
A better writer would have addressed this, but I think this writer just wanted to write a story about, you know, Bigfoot fantasies, or two, they wanted to make some shock factor, shock value story that idiots like me are going to think are genuine and talk about for an hour or so.
Sure.
Either way, I'm still having fun. But yeah, they're talking about, you know, and like Clint is like screaming out to him.
Oh my goodness. You can't be screaming Bigfoot in the woods. You're going to attract the hunters.
He's egging him on. You know, he's like,
They have no fucking care in the world. Bigfoot, you know, master of stealth for eons.
Decades. Eons. Thousands of years.
Unmeasurable time by human hands, right? Like, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to risk it all for Clint's pussy. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Have him screaming my name?
Yeah, it's...
No. Right away, right off trail?
Yeah. How far are we? 10 feet off the trail? 10 miles off the trail?
Like, you can still see him?
Like, I don't think Clint's the kind of protagonist that could make it 10 miles off the trail by himself.
Sure.
So I just really can't imagine that they're far from everything around them.
Shaking the bushes, screaming his name.
Yeah, and like ripping his clothes off. Bigfoot did not give Clint the chance to take his clothes off.
He ripped them.
As soon as Chie found out he could go whole hog, he ripped them bitches off.
Oh my God.
He ripped them shits off. Yeah. The throes of passion,
I'm
right?
I'm kind of leaving Bigfoot's side on this one. He's kind of sounding like a selfish lover.
He's a little rough, maybe, but like...
But Clinton seems to be enjoying himself.
Yeah, Clinton seems to be enjoying themselves. How often does Bigfoot get to top among the Bigfoots, right? Maybe he's been waiting a long time in line for this encounter, right? So, okay. Is he being a little selfish? Sure, but maybe it's not indicative of his character.
Or Bigfoots in general, okay.
Yeah, or Bigfoots in general, you know?
Do they address the topic of multiple Bigfoots, or is he a one-of-a-kind?
No. They talked about the walkie-talkie, and they talked about fucking.
Down to business. You speak English? You want to fuck?
You speak English? Yeah, let's go. I mean, these Bigfoot fuckers, they don't care. Because you remember...
You get that shot once.
You remember episode one.
Yes.
That guy was cheating on his girlfriend with a Bigfoot that was cheating on... Her boyfriend.
Her Bigfoot.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a common language. She saw him naked.
Yeah.
He saw Bigfoot naked. And he was like, hey, what's up? Like, he just took his pants off. And he's like, we trying to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah. But this one, I mean, they talked. I mean, you know, it wasn't like dinner or anything like that. But I mean, hey, I okay.
So how are we finishing this out? What happens next?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let me bring you to... I forgot about the fucking ending. So they're having pillow talk, right? Yeah. They're having pillow talk on a bed of dried pine needles. And I don't know if you've ever laid on dried pine needles, but it fucking sucks. They get fucking everywhere. And Clint's naked?
Sweaty?
Buddy. Have fun with that. You're going to come out with fucking pine needles everywhere. Okay, so he goes to get up. He's putting on his spare clothes. Bigfoot's like, where are you going? And Clinton's like...
What do you mean?
Clinton's like, going home, I guess. And I don't think you're the only one that started thinking Bigfoot was a selfish lover, because Clint, in his inner monologue, starting to get worried at this question.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going home, Bigfoot.
It's just a one-night thing. I'm not putting a ring on your toe.
Oh. Dude, here it comes, right? He's getting up, right?
Okay.
He turns away from Bigfoot. He feels the Bigfoot hand wrap around his wrist. Don't, Chie said softly. My cave. It's just a short walk from here. I had it set up for my hibernation. It's where I slept and ate for many months. And it's warm, and there's plenty of room. Another pause. Uncharacteristic hesitation. I thought... You might want to see it. Clinton's heart welled up with so much feeling, he thought it would overflow into tears. I would like that, he said, struggling and failing to keep his voice steady. I would like that very much. And the matching beam on Chie's face was all the answer he needed to the questions he'd been asking himself for a long, long time. Then come with me, he said simply. Clinton hefted his bag over his shoulder, turned around to say goodbye to his camp, then shrugged. No need. If he wanted to come back, he could always come back. If he wanted. Let's go, he said to Chie. And the two began to walk into the forest together until the rich greenery of the trees wreathed shadows around them and they disappeared at last, still hand in oversized hand. That's it. That's it.
That's the end?
That's the end, bro. He walks off into Bigfoot after 45 minutes of fucking... And...
He's like, yeah, this is my life now.
Bigfoot's meat was so good that you're living.
He was just like, fuck it. He's like, I don't ever need to see another television. I don't ever need to hear another song. I don't need to see another human being, dog. Because I got this fucking Bigfoot God rod right here.
I would understand if like a gray picked me up and gave me the suck and fuck treatment and then said, do you want to live in my super advanced paradise?
Yeah.
A different thing.
Or if like some ghost like isekai'd me away to ghost world Danny or something. Danny phantomed me. Yeah, it
that's
was like
got some advantages.
At least it's completely new. Bigfoot's like, hey, do you just want to forsake all of the modern benefits and conveniences and medicine and toilet paper and like a McDonald's burger every now and then? Fuck all that. I got this Bigfoot dick back in the cave.
What are you going to do when Bigfoot goes into hibernation for 10 years?
Yeah, are you just going to come back out of there?
You leave.
Because you're setting yourself up for failure, Clinton, right? You're going into this cave with no resources, and you're just going to get dicked down by Bigfoot.
Every day?
Every day. And then what? Bigfoot goes into hibernation, which could be for years.
What are you
right?
doing?
Like, are you gonna wait till he wakes up? No, you'll probably die. So what are you gonna do? Are you gonna walk back into society with your shit fucking credit score and your zero fucking dollars and no place to live and no fucking clothes and no cell phone? Like, just walk off into the woods, find the biggest rock you can and drop it on your fucking head. Cause that's what you're setting yourself up for, Clinton.
Bigfoot, I imagine, wouldn't be too happy to see you gone if he does take a nap.
Yeah. You don't know. Is he going to be asleep for the next 10 minutes? Like, how long are you going to wait for Bigfoot to be out before you leave?
Exactly.
Because, like, the second you leave that cave, are you just going to be overwhelmed with the anxiety of, like, what if Bigfoot wakes up and doesn't find me?
And,
you know,
crushes your head against a rock.
Yeah, and, like, because huge red flags from Bigfoot. You do not need to be going back to that man's cave right now, dude.
He's a clingy beast.
Yeah. Like this went from like cryptic erotica review to like
dating
toxic
advice.
Toxic lover helpline, all right? If you meet someone and you bang within 45 minutes, probably not a great idea. But if you find yourself in that situation, don't then further go back to your house, back to their house with them.
Not even that. Just don't move in with them.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. Don't move in with a guy that you banged 45 minutes ago for the first time, that you met 48 minutes ago. Come on, man.
Especially when the forest is crawling with hunters.
Yeah, the forest is teeming with dudes who are like, yo, if we see a big hairy guy, we're gonna fucking kill him. And the first big hairy guy you saw, you were like, I should hang out with this guy for the rest of my life.
Imagine the scene, right? You're round two with the Bigfoot, but you're in his home, so it's comfortable, and he's more comfortable.
Oh.
And the hunters come in, and you're spooning the Bigfoot.
Yeah, you saw date night Bigfoot. What you didn't see was, like, where the fuck is dinner, Bigfoot? You didn't see, like, how the fuck did you forget my Coors Light when you went out to the fucking grocery store, Bigfoot? That's not what you're seeing.
Yeah, are you going to teach him modern conveniences? Are you going to bring him back a Big Mac?
Yeah, like, hey, Bigfoot, like, I really want to make this relationship work, but I, like, need to go into town. Yeah.
I have to say goodbye to my mother.
Yeah.
Before I join your cave hibernation thing? Or what if he wants you to hibernate with him? There are too many questions for this relationship to work.
No. Nope. And with that...
That was riveting. Oh my god. That ending just gave it so much.
I was reading the ending today and I was like, what the fuck?
What are you thinking, Clinton? The dick can't be that good.
But yeah, it was a good time, good read. I laughed. I knew this was going to be great content for the show. I did not know that we were going to get some LGBT representation in this story.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Good for
I'm glad them. It's not just like, you know, the cryptid erotica isn't just for straights, all right? Get that through your fucking skulls, all right? Yeah. And, I mean, when we do part three, I'll pick up right where I left off.
I do have all of the Demonicas ready on my library card. I'm tainting my library card for this.
Let's fucking go.
So I'm packed and ready for more.
We will do more, and you don't know when you're going to get them. We don't know when you're going to get them. But there will be more Cryptid Erotica, so stay tuned for part three. In the meantime, we're going to go back to the usual good old times of ghosts and ghouls and things that go bump in the night. And if you have ever seen any yourself, I would love for you to let us know at supermadtower@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Mad Tower Radio. We're on TikTok, but we don't fucking use it. Don't hit us up on there. comment on this video. If you're listening on Spotify, hit us with that 5 stars, like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Christian, you got anything for these people?
Yeah, as someone who is going into the woods in 2 days and who just bought a really nice camera. I hope Bigfoot invites me back to his
crib. A frequency beyond space and time.
See you later. It is Mad Tower Radio.